The show continues ahead. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. His name is...
Roger.
I was going to call you Twinkles, but whatever.
Twinkles. No, it was Chico Winton.
You have to bring that.
That was my stripper name.
Oh, please.
Chico Winton.
Management of WKZO would like to apologize for the previous mental picture.
Yes.
And, of course, I didn't mention...
Michael.
The Wonder producer.
There you go. Okay. See, we got to do it that way. It
sounds authentic.
Yeah, it does.
And yet keeps you humble.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
I like to be humble.
Yeah.
Of course.
You have much to be humble about.
So we are actually scheduled to speak with John Gilbert here in a few minutes. Hopefully he'll be chatting with us here shortly about the Detroit Auto Show. But interesting things that have come out of the auto show. We talked about it a good bit yesterday, the new Corvette, and how Chevy actually got to sweep the car and truck of the year, which is a good sign, I think, for GM.
So the Ford F-150 did not take the...
No, it was the Silverado, at least that's what I'm hearing.
So that's
what's been happening there. Of course, Cadillac is rolling out their... ATS Coupe as part of they call the rebirth of Cadillac, and honestly, I've looked at pictures of this thing and it's a Cadillac.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It's a Cadillac. They do have a very unique look, you know, particularly the headlight signature, the way it is, and that sort of thing. I don't know that I personally enjoy it, but it's a personal thing. You know?
Yeah.
I worked for a guy that actually drove around nothing but Cadillacs before, and he rather enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess it's what your preference is. So,
like you, choosing a car based on style, that would not be at the head of my list.
Mm-hmm. Style's a part of the mix, though. You got to have, because if you drive around in basically a motorized brick, not much fun.
Yeah, that's true. I've got one of those.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I do too. But
I call it the bread box. But
your car looks like a box, like one of those cars.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. I can't stand those cars. They look so ugly.
Hey,
I'm sorry. I'm not saying that your car is ugly. I'm saying
you are too.
Okay, I am. But
I'm
saying all of the box cars are ugly.
Huh. I find it practical. You want to see the looks I get from women when I pull up to restaurants with it and such.
Why is he driving in a box?
Yeah, pretty much. It's an eye roll, come to think of it, that I see most.
Well, you see that when you're not in your car, so what's the difference?
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, now that I think about it.
But apparently today at the auto show, Governor Snyder was there.
Ah.
He was kind of walking around, taking in the show, and he made some comments on how the auto industry is really resurging. And he's talking about, you know, here in Michigan, we're leading the nation in building cars, and cited that we're at the highest level of building cars since 2005, which is a good sign.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the governor should be there.
Mm-hmm.
The auto industry is important to this state.
Absolutely.
And the governor being there, supporting the biggest industry in the
mm-hmm.
state,
mm-hmm.
Seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the one thing that I've seen out of the auto show so far, that I've seen an awful lot of noise from GM. Because, you know, Cadillac is rolling out their new car, and you've got, you know, the Corvette, and they're bragging about that, Silverado and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. I'm not hearing a lot from the other manufacturers yet. And I say yet because I know there's more to come. They're going to say, well, what about this? Take a look at this. You know, so we'll see some other things. But so far, it just seems like a lot of stuff that GM is doing, which, I mean, if GM's doing some stuff finally, that could be a good thing coming out of where they've been in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, they've got a comeback to accomplish. And you do that with well-designed, well-put-together products.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hopefully GM has that dialed in at this point.
Now, the one thing, because I'm not in the market for a car right now, so I don't generally tend to pay attention to the car press, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard, in terms of a lot of their different vehicles, I haven't heard if, you know, those car guys, the reviewers and things, if they're signing off on what GM's putting in, out now, or if they're going, "Nah." I really haven't seen what that is. I don't know if you have. I haven't.
I talked to Mark Phelan a few times, mm-hmm. and he's the auto critic for the Free Press.
Sure.
And he is pretty impressed with the new Camaro,
mm-hmm.
With the new Vette. He drove one from Detroit to Minneapolis and back and had really good things to say about
mm-hmm.
it. And the tone of his comments, he thought the Silverado was something pretty special.
Hmm.
And so there's somebody who I think, based on his comments, he mm-hmm. didn't say specifically, "I think GM's on a comeback trail,"
mm-hmm.
but that was certainly implied in what he said about their vehicles.
Certainly. And the Corvettes and you know, the Silverado, to a certain degree, are kind of those marquee nameplate vehicles that you know, GM is known for the Corvette, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Because that's one of their biggies. That's one that people judge them by. Cadillac coming out with something, I don't know that that's necessarily marquee, but at the same time, you look at it and go, well, Cadillac has got to do something to be that luxury brand that everybody expects it to be. So,
well, and they've got to tailor their cars to the age group of people who are buying Cadillacs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't sell your granddad's Cadillac to people who are out in that market for that kind of car now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of competition out there for high-end cars.
You know, there's a ton of it, a lot more than there used to be.
Lexus, Infiniti.
Mm-hmm. I think about years ago where it was basically Cadillac and Lincoln.
Yeah.
And that was about it, really. I mean, Chrysler would put out the occasional thing that would kind of broach the edge of that area, maybe steal a few people. But for by and large, it was those two.
Absolutely.
And to see, you know, the companies like Toyota and Honda and things have gotten in the mix with their own luxury brands.
Mm-hmm.
Hyundai has attempted it with their own Hyundai nameplate. I don't know that people have bought into it necessarily, but there's
what is it, the Genesis?
I think it's
make?
The Genesis yeah. now. Yeah, they changed names on the car at some point years back. I don't know. And like I said, I don't keep up with it every year, but there
Kia,
is a lot of competition.
Kia, the other Hyundai brand, has some high-end cars as mm. well, but mm-hmm. with the Kia name on them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see if that works.
And that's a tougher sell. And of course, you've got the foreign manufacturers. If you're looking at luxury cars, you're going to look at BMW as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to look at some of these others, or if you have a lot of money, you'll look at Jaguar, or as they like to call themselves, Jaguar.
Yes. although we're getting a new Mercedes dealership here.
Mm-hmm.
Not a new dealership, but a new facility.
Certainly.
For mm-hmm. Mercedes. And so it's a competitive marketplace out there.
I'll tell you this. For GM, I think the one thing that they're going to have to convince people of, you know, because we've seen in the and whatever your opinion was on the bailout and all that stuff, Government Motors got into the national lexicon, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I think they're going to have to make sure that they market themselves with the idea of, you know what, we're back, we're on our own, we're doing some great things here, come check us out,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. I haven't seen it yet from GM, but it seems like at the very least they're making some smart moves in heading that direction.
Mm-hmm. Because the government is now officially out of GM,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. They sold all
they
the
stock. They sold all
yes.
the stock, mm-hmm. So GM is on their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And time will tell.
Yeah.
They've got to sell quality products. Really, what in my mind did in the American auto industry is the quality of product they were turning
mm-hmm.
out. It was a Mercury Zephyr that drove me into the arms of the Japanese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think there were a lot of people who were driven away not by the design of the cars, but by the quality of manufacture mm-hmm. of the car. And I think that's where the U.S. companies have to prove themselves, that they can make world-class cars.
And think about the shift in the whole car market. I mean, you think about from the 80s all the way up till now, there was a shift from, let's make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it works or stays together. It's got to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And consumers were on board with that to a certain degree. And then the Consumer Reports auto issue just got more and more important every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, when we bought a car, I got a hold of that thing, and I dog-eared that thing, and I read every speck of that issue of the magazine because I wanted to find out some stuff, find out what was good, what was bad, that kind of thing.
Frequency of repair mm-hmm. Data is important when you're buying a car. You want to look sexy, but you got to be able to afford to drive it and mm-hmm. Not have it in the garage every other day to repair something.
Because let's face it, you can look good like I do, but if you're in a repair shop, you're going to be poor.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so
right.
You want to look good when you're behind the wheel of
right.
whatever thing. And I drive something sensible, so don't sit here thinking I'm driving a supercharged Mustang like I'd like to. Hint, hint, hint. But,
if you could have any car you wanted, would it be a Mustang?
Are we talking current, or are we talking all cars that have ever been made?
Current. If you were going to have
okay.
to go out and buy a car.
Well, if it's just I want it for style, I like the Mustang. I really
okay.
do. Probably one of the few Fords I look at and go, all right, they got it right. That's good. If we're talking sensibility, I don't know. I'd have to dig in and do some research
mm-hmm.
in terms of what would be good for the long haul, what would be good to haul around the family and that kind of thing. Because that's a big concern as you get to be the age I am. And I won't hint anybody in, but it's over one of those magic ages.
So so you're going to get a minivan, huh?
Well, apparently
yeah.
you haven't looked in the parking lots.
No, I know what you drive.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You do, and you've only slashed my tires once, so, you know.
Keep it up, the first half hour. I'm going out right after the show.
So I'll be interested to see, though, and if we didn't get a chance to chat with John, we'll have to reschedule because I know he's got some firsthand knowledge. This guy actually got to vote on Car of
Ooh.
The Year and Truck of the Year. So he's been up close and personal with a lot of this stuff. So I'd be interested to hear his perspective on this.
Sure. What would you go out and buy if you had to go buy a car this afternoon? Budget wasn't a concern. You're a rich radio personality.
I'm with Jeremy. I would go with a Mustang as well.
Really?
I really
okay.
like the look of that.
You're not going for a McLaren whatever.
No. and sensibility-wise, same thing. I'd have to do research on it. I just don't have any idea about that. But for looks, definitely a Mustang.
Yeah.
There's just something about that sound when you start it, too. I don't
oh,
know
yeah.
what it is. That just... And you can't even describe it here on the air. You'd only have to. We'd have to have the sound effects somewhere, which
yeah.
I don't have. But yeah, that sound when you start up a Mustang, there's just something to it.
You got to think that's not by accident. The car companies have to have engineers who are designing the
mm-hmm.
car to sound right.
Mm-hmm. The engine has got to be efficient. It's got to power the car. It's got to give it speed. But you know what? It's got to sound cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking they got people whose job it is to make sure it sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When people started up on the showroom or on the outside the dealership, that it's got to sound like a car.
Let's face it, there are some of us who are channeling our inner Tim Allen.
And
when you hear that thing start, you sit there and go, oh.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, you know, when you hear that, that's part of the... Part of the cool factor, I guess, in any car that you look at.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you want to make sure you get good looks while you drive that down the street as
well.
And the sound will definitely do that for you.
That's why I drive my white bread box.
I don't know if those are good looks, though.
I wouldn't think so. Show continues straight ahead. Keep it here. Continue on in the show, talking about interesting things afoot. Thank you for that laughter. I appreciate that. I practiced that all day. But this is actually happening in Michigan, where there apparently have been Bigfoot sightings.
Ah. And what, pray tell, does one use to lure Bigfoot in for a sighting?
Well, we look no further than resident of Breckenridge, Anthony Padilla.
And what did Anthony use?
He used Nutter Butter.
Nutter Butters.
He said that, and in the article I'm reading, he talks about how, you know, he has put out pizza boxes and Nutter Butters and things like that to try and attract them. And he talks about some of his first experiences seeing a Bigfoot and that kind of thing. And they've actually, the people that that keep up with this stuff have dispatched someone to check up on it and see, all right, is this a legit Bigfoot sighting?
Mm-hmm.
So
what evidence do they have?
Apparently on the pizza boxes, they've left behind some hair, different clumps of hair. and they are looking to see, all right, is this, does this line up with previous Bigfoot sightings?
Ah, so it's a balding Bigfoot.
Apparently.
Or a shedding.
Shedding. Yeah, well.
Do they shed this time of year? I don't know.
Boy. And do they shed on their pizza?
Apparently they do.
Apparently, yeah.
Which would make them have hairballs, I would
think.
But, you would think. But now the interesting thing about this is that a grocery in the area, and this is all in Midland County, actually, so it's up around the Tri-City area, but there's a little grocery there, Gordonville Grocery.
Have you ever been to the Gordonville Grocery?
I've been past it.
Okay.
I've not been in it.
You used to live in
that
area.
I used to live in the Tri-Cities, actually. So this is interesting because it's right in the backyard of some people I know. So it's interesting. But this grocery has developed a foot-shaped pizza that they're selling in honor of the Bigfoot sightings, which I think, you know what, hats off, even if this is a total hoax, which it could be. You know, why not market this thing? Sure, you know.
Have you ever been to Roswell, New Mexico?
I have not.
I'm just saying.
I've heard how they market that out there, and why not? You know, take advantage of the whole thing. But do you think, what, Bigfoot in Michigan, is it possible? Or is it somebody that's visited Colorado recently and picked up a little something while he was there? I don't know.
On bird things, I learned a long time ago to never say never, but questionable. I mean, the Midland area is a not, well, it isn't a population center, but it's a well-populated area, and how a Bigfoot would live there for very long eating pizza and Nutter Butters and not be sighted by more than one person.
Now, they said that there was someone that lives down the road from him and said that she had actually had three encounters on her property. So She says that she'd been a hunter for 31 years and hadn't seen anything quite like it. So you never know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Well, never we say never.
We don't know everything that there is to know out there. Well, you and I claim to.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, we're still discovering species on this planet all the time.
No, you think about all these stories where they say, well, you know what? We got all these fossils of this fish and whatever. Guess what? We found one. You know, and you'll hear that all the time, different things.
Just so. This morning, I read that this was in Japan. They found what they thought to be an extinct shark on a fish market table. And people were eating it. And it was a shark species they thought had been extinct for thousands of years. Yet it was still out there. It's radioactive because it was near Japan.
Of course, yes.
It glows in the dark. But it was a species they thought had been extinct.
See, and I thought you were going to say that you discovered a set of Ginsu knives for sale.
Yeah, I mean, there's fish at the bottom of the ocean we haven't discovered. I mean, because if we can't take a submarine all the way down to the bottom yet, we haven't developed a technology that can go down that far without getting crushed. So there's definitely a lot of species down at the bottom of the ocean we haven't probably seen, in rainforest, you know, in South America, all over the place.
There was last year a half a dozen bird species discovered. And so,
and not just the ones flying around in Roger's head.
Right. these were real. But so who's to say there couldn't be some sort of primate out there?
It's entirely possible. And, you know, they always say that Bigfoot is supposed to be very shy, doesn't want to come around where there's a lot of activity or a lot of things going on, so it's possible.
So that's why it's living in Midland.
Apparently.
There's nothing.
There's nothing going on there.
No, okay.
And the funny thing, you talk about, yeah, it's a population center, but you know what their number one problem was when I lived there?
What?
You won't believe this. It wasn't like drugs or anything like that. It was deer walking through the streets of town.
During the day or
at
night? Oh, yes,
absolutely. We'd had some that strolled right in front of our car one time, too. So, But it was their top problem. So you never know. Maybe now their top problem has graduated to Bigfoot walking in front of your car. You never know.
In broad daylight.
For some reason, we were talking the auto show earlier, and I hear this song, and I think DeLorean.
Yes.
It's just something about
okay,
that. You know.
Okay. I get that.
You know, I heard somewhere that they're doing DeLoreans made to order now.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to look that up, but it's one of those things that just popped in my head. But apparently, someone out there is building DeLoreans if you want one.
Are they still stainless steel?
As far as I know. So, I don't know. I'm hearing typing, so maybe Michael's looking that up.
Yeah, because I would like to get one.
Really?
I think they're probably a little pricey.
Dang it.
Were you planning on time travel? Or,
no, not really.
You got a spare flux capacitor sitting around? And
No, okay. I haven't invented that one yet.
Okay. He's got to figure out how to generate 1.21 gigawatts of power.
And get it to his car.
No, I actually, when I lived up in the Tri-Cities, there was someone that was on my way to work that was selling a DeLorean.
Really?
I saw it parked out there, and I was so tempted to stop and just, all right, how much?
How long was it there?
It was probably there for a good month.
But it finally disappeared?
It finally disappeared, which either means somebody took it, they didn't sell it, or they did sell it. More likely, they sold it to somebody.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was not the DeLorean we all saw in Back to the Future. I guess it was sort of tinted blue, which was kind of different. I looked at that and went, blue?
I thought they were all stainless steel.
I thought they were. I don't know if somebody just found a way to tint that thing or what.
Huh.
Or maybe it was just aging. I don't know if that's what happens to stainless steel when it gets that old.
Maybe.
Or on salt-covered roads. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. But
did you find it?
Yep. They're going to be selling for $90,000, and it's an electric DeLorean that they're going to be making.
Electric DeLorean. Okay.
Now we're talking.
Yes.
Sadly, I'm sure it doesn't generate the 1.21 gigawatts. I wish.
No, it's a 32-kilowatt battery
that'll
run on.
Not even close.
Where is it being made?
Let's see here.
Is it in this country?
Yes, it's being made in Texas.
Ah.
Okay. It's a good place to make them.
Yeah.
Not that they'll rust anyway, but, you know.
So, there you go. I think you've got your to-do list.
Yeah.
There, that's on the top of the list there. Own a DeLorean.
Yeah.
It's just something about those doors flipping up. You know, that's...
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea.
Does it have pictures? Have they modified the body at all?
The only picture on the site is of the one that's from Back to the Future.
Oh,
it's being
struck
by lightning and has fires behind the tires.
Of course. Of course. You know, I think I wouldn't want one until they put the hover kit on it. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to have that hover kit.
You want to go full boat if you're going to get a DeLorean.
And why not? Those things look cool. I don't care if it's, you know, how many years later. Those things are great.
Yeah. Oh, the electric, I'm thinking. I'd like to have an electric car.
Well, there you go. Get an electric DeLorean.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. But with this one, you're not going to be able to go out and get plutonium.
No.
To be able to power this thing.
Yeah,
really?
It said you can't power it with that.
Darn.
Take all the fun out of everything.
And no, when you get to 88 miles per hour, you won't be going... Back to the Future. Instead, you'll be getting a ticket.
Yeah. You'll see red lights.
Of course, mostly they'll be stopping. You go, cool. Can I drive that for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if I won't give you the ticket if you let me take that for a spin.
Tell you what, you just scoot over. I'll get in and take it up to 88 miles per hour. If you're going back to 1955, I want to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of that to change it to a totally different subject.
Okay.
One of the things, and Roger, I don't know, I have a feeling you feel like I do on this one, and it's one of those rare moments where we
agree,
but we disagree on which side we come down eventually. When it comes to politics, I don't know if you've noticed this, but how many presidential elections have we had where it feels like the media has selected who both sides are going to vote for?
Too frequently.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, because I think... To a great degree, they did that in 2008, both sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you're seeing it now as we're looking towards 2016, because you're seeing just sort of this inevitability that Hillary, if she chooses to run, will be the nominee. And over here in this corner, we have Mr. Christie. It just feels that way.
Never before, but this morning I heard a pundit say that never before in the history of the Democratic Party, when there had been a jump ball presidency, when somebody wasn't running for reelection, that there was only one viable candidate. Well, how can you have only one viable candidate this far ahead of, we haven't even had this year's election yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she is the heir apparent to the nomination on the Democratic side.
And really, she hasn't even decided she's running yet. She said she's making the decision later this year.
But media is already anointing her as the Democratic candidate. And I think some of the uproar over Christie's Bridgegate thing is because so many people in the media saw him as the Republican candidate. And where in a democracy do the people get to have a choice? And I know for our conservative, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, but loosely we vote, and people's votes ought to count.
And they represent us, and
yeah.
I'm with you. And if you think about, I mean, this last time around for Republicans, it was more of a wide open thing. I think everybody knew, okay, eventually it'll probably be Romney. But how many front runners did they have over the course of the campaign? Well, it's Herman Cain. No, it's Newt Gingrich. No, it's Michelle Bachmann. No, it's Rick Perry, until he forgot what he was doing at the debate. And then, oh, I guess we'll go with this Romney guy. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and you did see some of the Democratic process there. Some people would argue you saw a little bit of the Democratic process in 2008 on the Democratic side because of Hillary and Obama back and forth.
Yeah.
But I think the other part of that is you saw an awful lot of the media looking at Obama and going, look at this guy. He's new. He's different. We love him. And you just kind of want to say, well, wait a minute. Let's just report on what's going on. and well, let people figure out whether or not that. I mean, you know, it, and let's look at this. Okay, you've got Chris Christie. Okay, he could be considered a fresh face. Could be. I think he's been around for a little while because he's been on the national scene for quite some time. Hillary, let's not even go there. She's been on the national scene since, what, 92? And I tend to think, you know what, let's see some new blood on both sides. Let's not do this thing of, and the parties do it too. Republicans are notorious for it, to say, well, it's John McCain's turn to run. Well, it's Mitt Romney's turn to run for president. Don't select them for us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just have a wide open thing. Say, here's all the people. You figure it out. You go find out what they stand for. And then at the end of this thing, we'll get it all figured out. And you know, and that's the other thing. Conventions, they're not fun anymore because you know what in the world's going on.
Well, yeah, they're so staged that there's nothing happening there except public relations. It's all for TV consumption. It isn't even for the people who attend the conventions. They're accessories. They're part of the decoration for the show.
All the veterans that are standing there, their VFW hats and all that, flags everywhere, and the people dressed like Uncle Sam and that kind of stuff. It's an act.
Yeah, it's, and it's all for show. Both parties
both
do
sides.
It. But what a sad thing if we end up with, let's pretend for a moment that Chris Christie has harmed himself and he's gone. One of the second tier candidates is Jeb Bush. And I'm going to slash my wrists if our choice comes down to a Bush or a Clinton in the
Wait,
next election.
Haven't we done this before?
Yeah. Hello? In a country of 300 million people, we can't come up with candidates other than from two families?
And think about the way that Hillary has been sold in all of this. The idea that, yeah, she's got a little bit of a record with, you know, being Secretary of State and things like that. But by and large, I have seen those that are attempting to sell the public on her to say, remember what it was like when Bill Clinton was in office? It'll be just like that. No, it won't. It won't be a thing like that because we're not in the 90s anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different problems to be faced. And you know what? Tell me where she stands on some of the issues. Tell me what she wants to do on things and get to specifics. That's the one thing that I've hated about any campaign, regardless of side. Tell me what you stand for and how you're going to get there, because that's something. I mean, Obama himself has not done that because it's been all about, well, we want to make things better. Great. How? And both sides do it, because I think you saw some of that from Romney as well. There was not specifics. It was just, well, we want to make things better.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We want to have fewer problems in the future.
Well, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
And how are we going to get there?
And I like apple pie, and motherhood is a great thing.
And baseball.
Yeah, oh, baseball.
Yes.
The national sport.
And aren't babies wonderful?
Oh, let me kiss one.
There's mothers everywhere running and screaming after hearing me say that. Hey, Tim's on the line right now. Tim, welcome to the show. Glad you're with us.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush. Okay, that's my definition called deja vu.
Okay.
You know what deja vu is, right?
Yeah, and I don't think you need to make that description go any further.
Yeah, we've heard that before. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. You know, if we're going to put that on the floor, somebody's going to have to come along and clean it up. That's
yes.
all I'm thinking.
Yes.
But, you know, and I don't know. I will admit right up front, I don't know the second-tier candidates for Democrats. I know there's a few of them. They've talked about Governor O'Malley, I think, from Maryland, if memory serves, and Cuomo from New York, I think. But that's about all I've heard of. And other than that, it's this gushing over Hillary. And I don't know. I wonder if really – in the minds of people, if they were thinking for themselves and thinking, all right, let's weigh this out, would they want somebody they're that familiar with, or would they want to go, well, let's go with somebody that's young and energetic, somebody that's going to be able to give some spirit to things and be able to be a leader, which, to be honest, I don't think we've had for a while.
But do you think Chris Christie is that guy for the Republicans?
I think, and I'm not a Christie fan one way or another. I'm very neutral on him. I think the thing people like about him is that he has this, whether or not he was involved in that whole bridge thing or not, he has this sort of honest look about the way that he approaches things. He'll tell you how it is, and it'll be something that's different than what some politicians will do, where they'll dance around it. He'll actually come out and say, no, that was stupid, and they shouldn't have done it. You know, and I think people like that. That said, on the Republican side, there's an awful lot of people that could be potential candidates. They're just not being talked about.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of candidates on the Democratic side that would be possibles if somebody would talk about them.
Well, I tell you what. You know what we'll do here? We're going to take a brief little break, and then we'll talk about a few of them.
Okay.
And just, you know, but you'll use your Democratic knowledge. I'll use some of my Republican knowledge, and we'll see if we can come up with some unusual names that maybe you haven't heard yet. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Keep it here. Show continues. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, Roger Taylor, and
Michael,
the wonder producer. All right. So,
see how we got that down for
you?
Yeah, thank you.
We weren't quite as good as the last time, but we'll have to work on that.
Well, we're busy.
I guess. So, different names that you may have or may not have heard on both sides. Now, Roger, I'll let you take the floor first because we've heard Clinton.
Well, but
what other names are out there?
Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes.
Has been talked about. He's not getting serious consideration because he's sort of in Hillary's shadow.
And I think from some people, he's sort of like Uncle Joe at the family get-together. He's going to say something ridiculous at some point.
Yeah.
And it gets attention not in a good way. So,
somebody who I think deserves more attention than she's getting is Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
And she has a track record to run on. A lot of people know where she comes from. That will offend some people. to a lot of people, she would be an attractive candidate that would change things. The people who are pro-change are going to be skeptical of Hillary. She's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Elizabeth Warren would be high on my list of potential but not well-known candidates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Republican side, one name that's been bandied about has been Dr. Ben Carson, which he's a guy you don't hear a lot about.
I've never heard of him.
But there was apparently a prayer breakfast where Obama was sitting two seats away from him. He got a chance to speak, and he took Obama to task over pretty much every policy that he stood for. He's a guy that conservatives are looking at. Ted Cruz, obviously, is another name. Apparently, Ted Nugent has expressed interest in running. That's a little frightening.
There's a Republican candidate I could get behind. Ted Nugent for president. Think what he could be cooking out there on the barbecue behind the White House.
Yeah. Now, some other names that have been mentioned, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, which I think that would make an interesting choice. She's been a little, she's been Tea Party, but she's also kind of gotten a little more centrist as she's become a governor. So,
yeah, but North Carolina has developed for itself a reputation.
Well, South Carolina.
Oh, that's right. She's from South Carolina.
Yes. Bobby Jindal is being bandied about, not on my list of favorites, but he's being bandied about. He's certainly interested in it. You don't hear him making a lot of noise for the open Senate seat or the Senate seat that's up for election this time around.
Yeah.
Which I would have figured on that.
No.
But I think he's got his sights set higher. I don't know that it's a good idea, but...
I don't follow all the potential conservative candidates, mm-hmm. but Bobby Jindal, he would be have to be – his name comes up regularly mm-hmm. When you're talking about conservative presidential possibilities.
And I'll tell you why I don't think that he would work for Republicans. And the basic reason is he is very, very tightly controlled by his handlers. They don't let him get into a situation where he has to answer questions that he's uncomfortable with.
Mm.
They have gotten to the point in Louisiana where media are screened beforehand. What question do you want to ask the governor? Okay, you'll get to ask that question. What question do you want? No, I'm sorry, you don't get to ask that question.
Oh.
Mm.
And so that's how they handle him, and you can't get through to him for an interview at all.
Well, that's not going to fly well with the White House press corps.
Honestly, I think he probably will get eliminated very early on in the primaries. That's my gut feeling, because I think as time goes on, you see him in some of these 12-headed debates that they have on the Republican side, and they've had him on the Democrat side as well. I think when you see him in that kind of a forum, you're going to go, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think he tends to be more along the lines of a cabinet secretary, should Republicans get elected, or possibly a vice presidential candidate. I think that's probably as high as it goes for him.
But vice presidential candidates are frequently chosen by their ability to become president mm-hmm. after that term.
Certainly.
And if Bobby Jindal is not cut from presidential timber, as you're suggesting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then do you think the party would really nominate somebody? Well, they nominated Sarah Palin.
Well, and I think that they would. Well, let's face it, Democrats put Joe Biden up there, and he says something embarrassing on a weekly basis. So,
yeah, but he's also got some real world foreign policy experience. When in the Senate, mm-hmm. he was well regarded for his understanding of foreign politics,
which is just what his boss needed, because he'd had all the foreign policy experience of going to IHOP. So that's. But regardless,
so who this first guy you mentioned? Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. Where is he from?
He's a former director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins.
So he's a Maryland mm-hmm. resident.
So, yes, and okay. I think he's the kind of guy that'll be interesting to see. I don't know if he's going to be up for it or not. He's interested.
It's interesting because I've never heard of him until just now.
You're going to have to look him up.
I will.
Well, we got to run. But we'll get together again tomorrow. Why don't you come along with us? We'd love to have you.
Where's my iPoddy? I gotta go.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.